Oktoberfest, a women's conference, and a busy week in athletics. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. Thanks for joining us here on Tennessee Tech Today, where we take an in-depth look at what's happening with students, faculty, staff, research, and events on campus. The month of October brings out pumpkins, fall foliage, and tubas. Yes, tubas. Here at Tennessee Tech, October is an opportunity to celebrate the tuba with Oktoberfest.
We can't talk about Oktoberfest without talking to the tuba man on campus. That's right, R. Winston Morris.
We've been through this before, haven't we?
Just tell us about Oktoberfest. we're halfway into October, but go ahead and tell us about it.
I'm going to give you just a smidgen background, which I probably never, because we've talked about this before.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I mean, I assume that most people understand Oktoberfest comes from Oktoberfest.
Right.
But maybe I should make that assumption.
Go ahead.
Okay. At any rate, a friend of mine named Harvey Phillips, who was a phenomenal tuba player, played in the New York Brass Quintet and the New York Ballet, New York Opera Company back in the 50s and 60s. He was a little bit older than me, not a lot, but we studied with, we had the same teacher from the New York Philharmonic, who was our tuba teacher. His name was Harvey Phillips. And Harvey ultimately ended up at Indiana University teaching there, which was my graduate school.
Okay.
But I had gone to school there before he was on the faculty. And Harvey, in the fall of, I don't know what it was, just about 35, 40 years ago, I thought, you know, this Oktoberfest, and then Oktoberfest, Oktoberfest, and then this just sort of said, this would be maybe a really good opportunity to feature the tuba.
Yeah.
You know, playing on the word Oktoberfest,
right.
Make it Oktoberfest. And he started this at Indiana University, I guess about 40 years ago. I've lost track of it. I really have lost track.
How long has it been going on here?
Well, you know, and I've lost track of that too. But he did that for a year or so, and then he started promoting it. And we talked about that a little bit earlier, that, he, you know, promotion is the name of the game sometimes. He started promoting, well, you know, letting other players on other campuses know, hey, this is a good opportunity in the fall to promote the tuba and let people know what we're doing with the tuba. But you got to understand that the tuba is the baby of the orchestra. Does that sound make any sense to you?
It's the biggest
instrument, right? You think it's the granddaddy.
Right.
But the tuba was born on September 12th, 1835. That sounds like a long time ago, but trumpets and horns and clarinets and trombones existed way before that,
yeah.
And repertoire music was written for these instruments long before that. You know, you got Mozart horn concertos, and you got Richard Strauss concertos, and you got trumpet stuff back into the Baroque period. But the tuba didn't come along till 1835. I mean, it wasn't even invented till 1835. You had to invent the valves, all those valves that you press down that redirect the air.
Mm-hmm.
You had to invent the valves. And so once the valves were invented, and then they've been around for a little while, and then we figured out how to use the valves in a larger and larger instruments, till finally there was a Prussian patent, 1835, for a contrabass tuba. And so at any rate, so the tuba, even though people think it's the granddaddy, it's the baby of the orchestra, because all the other instruments, so that also meant it's the baby of the orchestra in terms of repertoire and literature and composers, right? The first major pieces for the instrument weren't until about 1955. I was already in high school before playing tuba in the band, before a major composition by a major living composer was composed. 1955.
Wow.
So major repertoire.
Over 100 years it had been invented before somebody did that.
That's right, yeah, well the instrument had to be around for a while, and they after a certain while it got incorporated into the orchestra, and then it was just a member of the orchestra, you know, putting the bottom on the orchestra, and then putting the bottom on the band. Then somebody said, hey, let's write a couple of big solos. Well, I'll just toss out the name of two of the composers. One was Paul Hindemith, which is a major sonata for the instrument. Another one was Ralph Vaughan Williams, a British composer, composed a concerto for the instrument. These were both about 1955, 1956. So other instruments have major repertoire going back into the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. And the tuba guys, we don't have major repertoire until I was in high school, 1955. I was like a freshman in high school and had just started playing the tuba, you know. But I was having to play all kinds of little rinky-dinky tunes, and they were mostly tunes that were transcribed from other instruments, you know. And so all of a sudden, this major repertoire didn't even start till. So we're just way behind everybody else. So we had to kick up a fuss to get some attention. The fact, you know, the tuba does a lot of things other than just oompahing in the back of the band. We have major repertoire, major concertos. These days, I can't even keep track of the concertos.
Oh, wow.
I mean, for solo tuba and orchestra, solo tuba and band. And I'm the man who keeps track of this stuff, by the way, because I've written several books on the repertoire from the instrument. You know, and the last one that I did was published in 1996. So it's been about 20 years or so. And in that 20, and then I knew all the repertoire then. And I had a 900-page book with Indiana University Press on the repertoire for tuba. I mean, because it had exploded. But in the last 20 years, it's even doubled. So we just have a lot of fun with it. We call it Oktoberfest, and we get out there and we do a lot of solo recitals. All the students play, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors, graduate students, chamber groups, quartets, quintets, sextets, the large tuba ensemble.
And do you have anything that's going on this weekend, anything that's coming?
No, it goes up, it goes up through Sunday. Mm-hmm. We're not performing anything on Saturday. I think there's a ball game.
Yes.
There's a football game. We don't want to compete with a football game because there wouldn't be anybody in the stadium. They'd be all over listening to tuba recitals. Who wants to watch a football game when you can go to a tuba recital? So at any rate, then Sunday we have some programs. Sunday afternoon, all of the freshmen play.
Okay.
These are babies.
Yeah.
You know, we're throwing them in the pool. And you got two choices, start swimming, you know, or sink. And I'm serious, so we have a whole program that goes from, I think, from 1 to probably 2:30 of nothing but freshmen playing tuba and bass tuba and tenor tuba. And they're all terrific kids, and they're off to a good start. And then we have a big chamber music program at 3 o'clock, then a couple of advanced upper-level, senior-level students giving recitals Sunday evening. All told, we have done 11 concerts in 1 week.
Wow. Week.
As part of Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you said a few minutes ago that you are the man when it comes to the tuba.
Tuba repertoire.
But you are the man when it comes to tuba. And to show that, there is a new museum, the R. Winston Morris Tuba Collection. We're sitting
true.
In it right now.
This is true.
And it is a Guinness Book World Record collection of the tuba.
Oh, it is. Tuba artifacts. Tuba, I forget exactly how the Guinness people wanted to do that. Exactly how they wanted the title, but it's tuba. It's not tubas. It's not the actual instruments
right.
itself.
Artifact collection.
Yeah, but it's like figurines and artwork and stuff like that. Yeah. There's about 3,000 pieces all told.
And you've collected all these?
Yeah, I collected all these over the years because, you know, I was stupid and I didn't have anything else to do. So I'm sitting around saying, well, I think I'll go out and find a tuba figurine, as if they were easy to find. Because they weren't. Now, if I've been looking for accordion players or saxophone players, some of those inferior instruments, you know, then I find 18 trillion of them. But you go in a gift shop or an antique mall, and you'd have to really just, I mean, for years I couldn't find anything because I just almost gave up at one point. I had a couple of lead figurines and some little lead soldiers playing the tuba way back in the late 50s and 60s, and I just sort of didn't pay much attention to it. And then one of my students got me fired up again. He was into antiques and stuff like that way back in, I don't know, early 70s or whenever the heck it was. And then, I performed with a lot of groups that toured all over the world. And, you know, so you got an afternoon off, you got an evening off, you got a weekend off, you know. So I'm hitting the antique shows and I'm hitting the flea markets and the gift shops. And next thing you know, I'm finding all these little tuba figurines and stuff like that. So I just got hooked on this and, you know, the artwork and the figurines. And then about 6 years ago, I thought, well, shoot, what the heck, might as well get in touch with Mr. Guinness and see if he's interested in it. And they wrote back and said they didn't have anything in that category. And I said, well, I think I got it. So I had to get in touch with people all over the world that I knew collected these figurines and stuff and document what they had. You know, and the largest other collection I would find would be a couple of hundred.
Wow.
You know, 150 here, yeah. Say 85 here.
And you have over 3,000.
Maybe about 200 or 300, maybe some other people. So I thought, well, you know what? I got all these guys beat pretty good.
Yeah.
So I had to document with the Guinness people, and it took about 2 years. And I had to document, I had to make a photograph of every one of these pieces.
Really?
And send it in to the Guinness people. And then I had to videotape two archivists. One was Mansell Johnson, who was the former archivist here at Tennessee Tech.
Right.
And one was Gunn Jones, the archivist here in Cookeville, to come out to my house. And I had all these things on display. And I had to videotape them, signing off, saying, yes, there are so many of this. So many of these figurines, so many of this artwork, and documenting and signing affidavits, and you know, videotaped to send to the Guinness people. I sent to the Guinness people. It was like a doctoral dissertation, what I had to send to them, and it took about 2 years to put all that information together. Then they got back in touch in a couple of months and said, "Well, you got the record," and I said, "Well, thanks a lot," you know. And so the rest is history. Now it's on display here at Tennessee Tech.
So we're up here on the third floor of the University Center. It is a beautiful, well-lit, spacious room that has your artifacts, that has the posters and the paintings and all these things. And when you sit back and you look at all of this now, how does it make you feel?
Well, I love this space. I absolutely love this space. I'm not sure if you're aware, any of the listeners are aware, that we had this on display in the third floor of the Regions Bank. 2 years ago,
yes.
Downtown Cookeville. And because Tennessee Tech Foundation, I think, owns that facility. So we had a nice little room that we had put together this, and we had all this on display. And then an opportunity came up for us, for them to rent that space out, you know. So we put everything in storage, and it's been in storage for 2 years. And now we have this fantastic room here on the third floor of University Center, which was previously referred to as the Alumni Lounge for years. And thanks to everybody on campus, to Mark Burnett, Mark Stevens, and of course President Oldham, that supported finding a good location on campus.
Right.
And we found this room, which is just perfect. I love this location. The room is great. And we have a big display case with all the figurines and all the artworks around the wall. So we have a grand opening.
Yes.
On homecoming day,
right.
Saturday, November the 9th,
yeah.
From 5 to 7 p.m., we open the door for the first time.
That's awesome.
In this. And then the room will be open. I'm not sure what the schedule will be, but it'll be open on, I don't even know if it'll be a daily basis, but we'll advertise at some point how often the room will be open. So it's open to the public, and I mean, people are more, it has not so much, you know, whether you're interested in the tuba or music or whatever. It's just that to see something, a collection,
yes.
and I think maybe you could vouch for this, that it's impressive, and you're not a tuba player, are you?
I am not.
I'm not gonna hold that against you.
Nor am I a saxophone or an accordion
player. You play
player.
Saxophone?
No, I don't. I don't play either one, I'm just saying.
Oh, wow.
I don't want you to judge me.
I don't play either one. Just for a minute there, I was almost losing all respect for you, and you said saxophone. You know the difference in a saxophone and a lawnmower, don't you?
I don't.
You can tune a lawnmower. Don't tell my saxophone friends that. They'll get mad at me. I love saxophones. I'm a great jazz fan, so you got to love saxophones. But that's an old joke.
You're right. This is such an impressive collection. And, you know, I'm not in the tubas, but I appreciate you and I appreciate your collection.
Yeah.
And now that it's housed here at Tennessee Tech where it belongs, because you are Tennessee Tech, your tuba legacy is Tennessee Tech.
Right.
And now these artifacts and all this belongs here at Tennessee Tech.
Well, you know, all this was in my house. Can you believe that?
I can believe it.
Now, all the artwork was
on. Did hoarders give you a call? Did they want to come do
it? It was insane. It was insane. There was stuff went up to the ceiling. I had all of the figurines, which is about 2,500 on display, and about 300 or 400 pieces of artwork. I didn't have all that. There was no room. You run out of walls.
Right.
So now everything's on display. But I guess 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I was ready to move this on down the trail. I thought, I need to do something with this, get it out of the house, because you know what I'm saying, you know. So I had people that wanted to buy it. I had two or three people. I had one person coming in from Dallas, Texas, and spent 2 days observing all this and drooling over everything. And then there was another guy up in Boston, Mass, and then another guy down in Baton Rouge. These were amateur tuba players. Real tuba players can't afford this. And once it became a Guinness collection, you know, the dollar signs went up. So I contacted all my former students, and I'm in touch with 99% of them that go back 53 years.
Really?
Yeah, on an almost weekly basis, I'm in touch with my founding students from 1967. And so I contact all these students on a regular basis, and I say, guys, and they had seen this figurine, they had seen this collection over the years progress from the time they were students here 50 years ago, and see the collection progress in size and everything. And then I contacted them and said, okay, there's some museums that are interested, there's some people that want to buy it, I could have made a ton of money off of this. And I said, you know, what do you guys think? And inevitably, Roy, we want this to stay at Tennessee Tech University.
Right.
This is part of the whole tuba program at Tennessee Tech, which has been going on for half a century and is internationally recognized. We want it to stay at Tennessee Tech. And I'm delighted to be able to have been able to donate it to the university. And that's part of the TTU Foundation owns it. And these people have been fantastic. Tiff Rector, John Smith, Kevin Braswell over there has been extremely supportive of what we're doing here. So this is their property now. It's no longer mine. I gave it to the TTU and TTU Foundation. And I'm delighted that the university was interested in it.
You know,
now I could have sold it, or it looked some museums that were interested in it. But I'm delighted that it's right here at Tennessee Tech.
Well, if you're a tuba enthusiast, this is the most wonderful time of the year with Oktoberfest going on in October. Been a busy week in our Winston Morris's collection. Unbelievable Guinness Book of World Record collection of tuba artifacts and things to go with that. Going to be opening on homecoming November 9th, 5 to 7, right here in
open
Winston
house.
You are a gem. You are as valuable as collection.
Yeah. And by the way, I'll be here on that open house to greet people in. We look forward to seeing anybody who can drop in on the day after the ball game. We assume it'll be over with by 5 o'clock. What do you think?
We hope so.
Yeah. Positively, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Well, thanks, buddy.
All right.
Great to talk to you, man. Yeah. As always, man. A real pleasure.
All right.
Stick around. There's more Tennessee Tech Today coming your way.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
This is R. Winston Morris, Tennessee Tech Today. You're listening to it. Wings up, baby.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. I'm Buddy Pearson. This Friday, November 1st, the College of Business will be hosting the 2019 Women's Leadership Conference. There's a great lineup of inspiring speakers, and here to tell us all about it is Cheryl Montgomery, the Director of Program Development and Engagement in the College of Business. So Cheryl, it sounds like this is a great opportunity for women to come and really get some good instruction and listen to some good speakers.
Yes, we're very excited about our lineup of speakers, Buddy. It will be Friday, November 1st, here in the multipurpose room of the Roden University Center on Tech's campus. This is an event that Dean Tom Payne has been very passionate about. We hosted the first Women's Leadership Conference last year, so this will be our second run. We have an amazing lineup of speakers. If anyone is interested in learning how to negotiate a better salary, they need to come to this event. Susan Wells, she's a faculty member here in the College of Business, and she's going to lead us in a session on negotiation and conflict management. So I feel very certain that anybody who wants to increase their salary should be at our conference on Friday, November 1st.
Yeah, who doesn't want more money? I mean, really, that's what everybody wants.
That's exactly right. It will be a wonderful day to network with other business professionals and to also meet students who are interested in finding their first job once they graduate with that degree from Tennessee Tech.
Now, this isn't just open to folks at Tennessee Tech. It's open to everybody.
Oh no, this conference is open to anyone. We've invited all of our alumni to come back and join us. We've invited people throughout the Upper Cumberland. We don't care where you went to school. If you would like to learn how to negotiate a better salary, learn about skills that you might need to lead your company, you should come to our conference. We're very excited about our closing keynote as well. We have Miss Alicia Lynch will be joining us. She is the Vice President and Chief Information Security Officer for SAIC. Oh. A local company here in Cookeville, but they have a national footprint. She's coming in from Washington, D.C. to join us for the closing keynote. She is a former colonel in the military. She has 30 years of experience leading a Fortune 500 company in the military, and we look forward to what Alicia has to say about leadership as well.
Now, is there a cost for the event?
Yes, the cost to attend for individuals is $85. You can register by going to our website, the College of Business website, tntech.edu/business. It will lead you to the conference website where you can find out more information and register to attend.
All right, that's the 2019 Women's Leadership Conference coming up Friday, November 1st. Anything else you want to tell us about it?
Oh, we're just very excited. We look forward to having everyone here on our campus to learn some new skills, improve their negotiation skills. The event will begin at 8 o'clock in the morning with registration, and we will wrap up by 3. So it's a perfect day. Anyone who comes will also receive the free book that Susan Peppercorn, she is a career coach. She's coming in from Boston to be with us. She's a career coach who has written for Harvard's Business Review. She's also been featured by Inc. magazine. She's going to lead us in a session on overcoming your inner critic. You know, we all sometimes have some self-doubt.
Yeah.
And Susan is here to help us wipe away that self-doubt. And people who come to the conference will receive her free book. It's a best-selling book. It's been featured on Amazon. Inc. magazine has featured it. And all participants in the conference will receive her book. In addition to lunch and breakfast, it promises to be a great day.
All right. Sounds great. That is Cheryl Montgomery, the Director of Program Development and Engagement for the College of Business. Thanks for being with us. And good luck with this women's conference coming up November 1st.
Thank you so much, buddy.
This is President Phil Oldham, and you're listening to Tennessee Tech Today. Wings up!
Well, fans of Tennessee Tech athletics are in for a treat the next few days. The soccer and volleyball team play on Friday, the football and volleyball teams play on Saturday, and soccer is on the road on Sunday. Then on Tuesday, Tech will host Purple Palooza, where trick-or-treating begins at 5 p.m., followed by the Tech women taking on the University of the Cumberlands in an exhibition contest at 6 p.m., and followed by the Tech men hosting Bryan College in an exhibition at 8 p.m. And joining us now is the busiest man on campus, Tech Athletics Director Mark Wilson. What it's been like the last couple of days getting ready for all this stuff going on this weekend, plus Purple Palooza. Man, I know you're busy.
We love busy weekends on the Tennessee Tech campus, and especially when we have all these sporting events and all the fans coming out cheering on the Golden Eagles, and hopefully we're a great source of pride for Tennessee Tech and Cookeville and the entire community. And, of course, big football game this afternoon, you know, the second game in the Sergeant York Trophy as Coach Alexander and the Golden Eagles take on Austin Peay at 1:30. Of course, the 90.5 KISS FM tailgate park opens at 10:30, Golden Eagle Walk at 11:15. Rain's moving out of here, so it's going to be a great afternoon for college football.
You know, you talk about this football team, 4-3 right now. I know they're coming off a couple of losses at SEMO and against UT Martin, but, man, they've been road warriors. They've already put up 4 wins. I mean, they've really turned things around, and now you look at the rest of the schedule. They got some key home games coming up, so really a lot left to play for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody in the OVC right now, if you look at total wins, it's nobody has more than 5.
Yeah.
And here we are sitting at 4-3, so great opportunity with 5 games remaining, 3 of them in the friendly confines of Tucker Stadium. We love being at home. So great opportunity for us to fight and still have a chance to win an Ohio Valley Conference championship or maybe even an at-large berth into the NCAA championship. So we got to take care of business starting today. It's one game at a time and seeing what the Golden Eagles can do.
Volleyball with a couple of home matches. course, Jeanette Waldo has that volleyball team surging up through the OVC ranks. They've been very competitive and really looking good at this point.
They are looking great at this point. I mean, coming into this weekend, there was a four-way tie for first place in the OVC standings, and then a three-way tie for fifth place, and that's where the Golden Eagles found themselves coming in. And, of course, a real important match tonight at 7 o'clock. I encourage folks to come on out. It's part of a three-game homestand. It's going to be inside. It's going to be warm. Great opportunity to cheer on this volleyball team who's really doing a great job in Coach Waldo's second season.
So one team that's playing outside is Tech Soccer. Of course, they're in third, but they got a chance, you know, with these two games over the weekend, hosting on Friday and then going to SEMO on Sunday, to have a chance to win an OVC regular season championship.
They sure do. Coach Springthorpe and that program has just been an exemplary program and one of the leaders in terms of overall competitive success and consistent success. And tomorrow's a huge match at SEMO, opportunity to win the OVC championship and also get the really a great seeding for the OVC championship, and hopefully then we'll be hosting a match next weekend on the Tennessee Tech campus, a series of matches as part of the first and second rounds of the OVC championships.
So as the fall sports wrap up, of course, basketball starting up. You had OVC Media Days in Evansville. And next week, Tuesday, big night, Purple Palooza, trick-or-treating. You've got the women in action, the men in action. It's hard to believe basketball season's here.
Basketball season is here. The unveiling of head coach John Pelfrey, the first opportunity you have to see him on the sidelines. And, of course, Coach Roseman's done a great job in her four seasons at Tennessee Tech, and looking forward to this year. It is a new format for Purple Palooza. Normally, it's the trick-or-treating and followed by kind of, you know, fun and games, but these are actual games. They're competitions. So the doors will open at 5 o'clock, trick-or-treating on the concourse, and folks come on in. Women's game will tip off at 6. Men's game will tip off at 8. Going to be a great night of basketball. Season tickets are on sale, 931-372-3940. It is a great home slate, great action all winter long here in the Hooper Evelyn Center. So a wonderful opportunity to have family entertainment and to see great basketball.
You may be able to get any sleep the next few days?
Probably not, but that's what we love. That's what we love. It's that time of the year, and then after this, we just roll into championships. You know, cross-country championships are next weekend at SIUE. Football's on the road. Volleyball's at home. Hopefully we're hosting soccer championships here at on the Tennessee Tech campus. Then we roll right into Hall of Fame weekend and homecoming, so it's just a great time of year.
All right, Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, buddy.
And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, and confident. Wings up, everybody.